We've got Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group here with us. Kerry, great to see you.
Always great to see you, Marty.
And you brought a rooting section today.
I did. The family's out at the ballpark. Big listeners of your show, and had to come out.
First time I've met Meg, and
yes.
Of course FX, and Nancy Hayden Crowley. So nice to have everyone out here today.
Oh, they love the shout-outs, Marty.
All right. We do this. All right. Let us now get to the more important stuff. Derek Holland, what's the feedback? What do you think that came out of the blue? What do you think is happening here?
Well, I don't think it really came out of the blue, because I think that when Holland went on the injured list a few weeks ago with the index finger injury that he didn't think was serious, the front office thought it was serious enough to merit missing a start or two, I think that really sort of caused a rift, and there was the first kind of sign of trouble between the front office, which is really trying to change the culture here with the Giants, and the players. And you look at this roster, Farhan has only really been able to turn over 5 to 7 slots on the back end of the roster. You've still got all these veteran guys who are core pieces who maybe aren't so on board with some of these changes. And really, this was the first time we've gotten to see this come out in public.
Now, Marty and I have been talking about the phantom IL or the phantom DL has always been a thing in baseball. It's not going to go away, but it's generally something that the player does not speak out against the team on.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that, you just, if you're not performing up to par, you go and you take the...
elbow tendonitis for a day or so, and you deal with it.
You take the absence. You understand that when you come back, you have to perform to keep your spot. Derek Holland came back. He got his opportunity to start. Wasn't great conditions to pitch in Colorado in the snow, but he didn't perform, and now he's headed to the bullpen.
What's his future?
That's a great question, because you're talking about a guy who was signed to a contract that was ultimately signed because it's a very tradable contract. And so he was going to be a part of this rotation probably up until July 31st. And if the Giants fell out of contention, you're talking about someone who could fetch them a few prospects. And now, with Holland coming out and speaking out against the front office, what teams are going to want to acquire someone like that? What teams are going to say, okay, he's worth the risk with someone who's not pitching well and isn't accepting a move to the bullpen so easily?
Anybody who needs a lefty, and that's the story of baseball today. They'll make room for you. 179, 258, 179. That's a slash line for Derek Holland against lefties.
Yeah, you're talking about someone who can really aid a team in the postseason if he's used in the right situation. Yeah. But to me, that was never going to be the first through five innings of an NLDS or NLCS game. You're talking about someone who can come in when a starter struggles and maybe face a Cody Bellinger, a Corey Seager, and get those guys out when a team is up against the Dodgers in the postseason.
Kerry Crowley with us. 10 days ago, the starting rotation wasn't really the story. It was Farhan turning over the left fielders, trying to get an outfield, a right-handed power bat. Here, do you think we'll see now more looks at starting pitchers or rotation pieces from the outside?
Absolutely. I think they're going to give Tyler Beede a lot of opportunity here to really win a job in the rotation and prove that he can be a piece for the future. We're going to see Beede a lot this summer, in my opinion. And I also really would not be surprised if Wednesday is the first time that the Giants used an opener. I know that it's been in discussion, something that they've talked about. Ty Block was in discussion about it a few weeks ago when they initially brought him up for that Dodgers series, but they let Samardzija start that game. Now that Holland's in the bullpen, I could see Trevor Gott or Nick Vincent starting Wednesday's game, maybe even Mark Melanson starting Wednesday's game, and then you bring Holland in for innings 2 through 5 or 3 through 6.
Wow, going to be interesting. Yeah. Kerry Crowley with us. Aaron Altair. I've said it every day.
You'll get there. He's not even here yet.
Aaron Altair will be here Tuesday. Big kid, lefty, 28 years old. Right-handed hitter, obviously, left fielder, but I meant right fielder. How does he fit into this? What do they do with him?
That's an outstanding question, because you've now got three guys on
today.
This roster. You always do, Marty, but this is one I think the fan base really needs to know about.
Yes. Where does he fit in?
So this is a hot
button issue. Your answer on this.
So you look at Mack Williamson, you look at Tyler Austin, and now you've got Aaron Altair, who just provides a bit more positional versatility, a bit more flexibility, but they're really stocking up on some of these same guys. They're big-bodied players, hit for a lot of power, strike out a lot, and you wonder, who's going to survive this? Or are they going to come out with all three of these guys on the roster? How long is this going to be a sustainable path for them? I think that they've proven that they'll take a ton of chances in the outfield, and they'll cycle through until someone sticks. To me, Tyler Austin looks like he has the best potential to stick. He just is more of an American League player, and that he's not really, you can't use him in left field. You can use him sparingly at first base, probably more of a designated hitter, but he's got the best bat of those three guys, in my opinion. So it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out, and I'm really curious, because you can't have all three of those guys on your roster for a long period of time.
Yeah, he just doesn't really have a position, does Tyler Austin. But you're right, his bat may be the most powerful on the roster right now. Bumgarner goes today. Yesterday we found out about the eight teams that he's now named that he would not like to be traded to on his he's got to give approval, I guess, or have some leverage to be traded to one of these teams. They're all potential playoff teams, Kerry.
Yeah, smart guy. I mean, this, he knows what he's doing here. He's going to make a million or two if he gets traded, and that's really why teams do that. I mean, if you asked me to name the eight teams out of the blue, I think I could have come up with six of them.
Probably,
just because you're looking at the teams that are most desirable to go to, the most likely to be in the postseason, and if Bumgarner gets traded, he's going to want a new house out of it. Yeah. Who wouldn't?
No, absolutely. Very smart. And look, he didn't cash in on his contract, and he's going to cash in on the trade value. And then look, Mark Simon was just with us, and Bumgarner sort of reinvented himself. Last couple of games have been excellent. I realize, and, you know, he gave up some home runs early, but he righted the ship. So I think his value is going up every day.
Absolutely. Fastball velocity is great. It's at 92 right now. The thing that stands out to me, the cutter velocity and cutter command. That was the pitch that he really navigated throughout the 2014 postseason with, and it has been good the past two starts against the Dodgers and then against the Rockies. So you look to see him continue that against the Reds, and if he makes three, four more of these starts, you're looking at probably the top starting pitcher on the trade market this summer.
He's getting swings and misses, too.
Could be.
Yeah, he is.
Talked about this on the podcast and also on the show this morning. What's your favorite metric, your go-to stat? If I bring up Aaron Altair or Madison Bumgarner or Tyler Austin or Mack Williamson, where do you go to see what's what?
For pitchers, I look at ERA. I always will. I get that everyone looks at FIP, fielding independent pitching, because it's supposed to be predictive. It's a saber metric, whatever. It all comes down to how many runs you're allowing. And to me, if you load the bases and get out of the inning, you got out of the inning unscathed. That matters. You've still got a low ERA.
How about WHIP?
WHIP is important. Absolutely. Walks and hits per inning pitch. That's a great indicator of a pitcher's potential for success. With hitters, I always go to OPS. How much damage are you doing? Derek Dietrich, you look at his .241 batting average for the Reds. That's nothing. I mean, you know, you throw a middle infielder out, they can hit .241. Joe Panik's hitting .230 right now. But Derek Dietrich has an OPS on base plus slugging of .999 right now, which means every time he gets in the box, he's doing damage. He's making those hits count. Doubles and home runs, they're not singles the opposite way.
Another player liberated from Miami.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing?
It's unbelievable.
You get liberated from that ballpark.
Yeah.
And look, I grew up in Miami Beach in Miami. I love living there. It was a lot of fun. A lot of baseball roots back there. But that ballpark is so detrimental. It's, you know, you talk about this ballpark. How about that one?
Yeah, it's the same way.
Look at Yelich.
You rank at the very bottom of the league.
Come on, Yelich and Stanton. Ozuna.
D. Gordon, Derek Dietrich.
And
who wouldn't want to build around that core?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't say, let's lean into that?
Derek Jeter wouldn't.
Yeah, instead you've got Sandy Alcantara and Lewis Brinson, and good luck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, interesting. Well, great to see you. I'm glad
to see you, Marty.
You had a good road trip?
I did. Cincinnati and Denver, it was exhausting. Started with the 12-11 win when Stephen Vogt was the hero, and ends with the 12-11 loss.
What did you do during the snow and everything? How did you stay warm?
It was terrible, but the press box at Coors Field is fortunately heated. I don't know of many other press boxes in the league. I know Pittsburgh heats theirs, but it was very nice.
Well, Andy Baggerly had the hot dog grill going.
Yes.
To warm his hands up. Were you part of that?
No. I don't need those tactics to stay warm. I just put on the extra jacket and kept typing my way through.
Very good. All right. Great to see you. Well, I'll be down in Arizona with you next weekend.
Looking forward to it, Marty.
We'll have you on down there, and I'm glad you brought out the rooting section today.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. It's nice to have my mom out here, and Marty, just you'll love this. She was the greatest third base coach in San Francisco Little League history.
Is that true?
Waved everyone home. Everyone home. Ron Wotus had nothing on my mom.
That's like Raph. Raph, when he puts the callers on, they call him the turnstile. Everybody gets on.
Everyone scores.
Very good.
Yeah, that's how you build a championship caliber team.
Congratulations. Nice to have you.
Nice to have you, too.
All right. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.